you, Kathy,
for each of you. And I want to thank those of you involved in various ways today for your flexibility and changing the order around. And I'll tell you a little bit of why we want to do this. As I was preparing this message, I just had this strong sense of just a message on my heart for these young people. And as they're preparing the barbecue downstairs, I wanted you to hang around for this message. Because I feel it. I feel like I need this message myself, but I feel it so strongly in my heart as a word for the young people, but for all of us today, because we're all human beings who struggle in some of the similar ways. And so after the sermon, we will be having our offering and worship time. But thanks for, sometimes it's good to change for the sake of change. Sometimes it keeps us on our toes. And also the scripture listed in the bulletin is Acts 3, and we're obviously using Acts 4. But in reflecting on high school, and for some of us that's a long time ago, one word that comes, a phrase that comes to mind is, it's the best of times, and it can also be the worst of times. And if anyone knows where that's from, raise your hand. Tale of Two Cities, right? Yeah. It can be the best of times, and it can be the worst of times. And I don't want to project any of my thoughts or experiences on you young people who are graduating, but I say it's the best of times because you're young and there's all kind of opportunities before you. The world is opening up for you in some exciting ways. But one of the ways that I experienced it as one of the worst of times is high school can be a time of a lot of comparison. And a lot of us struggle with that throughout our lives. But it's a time where society evaluates you and has ways of placing value on you compared to how successful you are to other people. And there's nothing wrong with awards and recognitions, but I think about it at graduation time, you'll see, okay, Garden Spot's graduating, and there's three pictures of very successful people who are the top students. That's great. Nothing against that at all. But one of the ways we can somehow undermine or somehow categorize people by their value according to how successful they are. Every school has a class ranking. Whether or not you care where you rank in your class, there's a class ranking. And there's award ceremonies, and some people are regarded as very successful, and others are not as regarded as successful. But I want to proclaim from the mountaintops this morning that you are not called to be successful. You are called to be faithful. And it is so important that we recognize the difference between being successful and being faithful. After all, the Bible does say, Jesus in the story of the talents, "Well done, my good and successful servant." I hope you got what I said wrong there. He didn't say, "Well done, my good and successful servant." He said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And if there's anything I want you to hear today, it's very easy to think about what other people think of us or compare ourselves to other people, but you are not called to be successful. You are called to take who you are, who God has gifted you to be, and live faithfully for God with exactly who God has made you to be. There will never be another Grace Moore, or Chris Martin, or Will Balmore, or Luca Ventura, or Ashton Greenwald. There's only one of each of you, uniquely gifted by God to be used to glorify God in all the unique ways. And you're at a season in your life where you are discovering the uniqueness of who God has created you to be. And I believe one of the things that can really undermine that, as I've noted before, is this whole thing of comparison. And when you compare, someone once told me, when you compare, you will despair. Because there's always someone more talented than you in certain areas. There always will be. And the more we are focused on other people, we are actually focused on ourselves. And what we're called to do is, and by the Spirit of God, to focus on Jesus. And when we do that, we take our eyes off ourselves. And this is not always easy to do. But I want to look at the book of Acts today with you, in Acts chapter 4, because I believe here we see this wonderful example of the Holy Spirit coming to Peter and John. And addressing their insecurities, their inferiority, and their sense of insignificance. Because I believe when we look at ourselves, when we focus on ourselves, we will often struggle in these three areas, these three words. And as we go through the book of Acts, I've been finding myself drawn to words like frenetic or isolated, and these three words today, that I believe when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, the Holy Spirit begins to chip away at these words. It may not be automatic, but when the Holy Spirit is at work, the Holy Spirit replaces inferiority with a sense of value based on our place before Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, insecurity is replaced with security. We belong to Jesus. When the Holy Spirit is in your life, insignificance is replaced with purpose. And here again, I don't want to make it sound like this is just an instantaneous, automatic thing, but where the Spirit of God is at work in our lives, these things will be happening. I use this illustration a lot of my in-laws. When they buy a house, and they recently bought one 6 or 7 years ago, a house that was very tacky, green carpet, lots of different outdated things, and it was almost comical as we walked through this house. But one thing we knew for sure, every time we go visit them, every 6 months or so in Michigan, there's something that is renewed. Something has changed. We never know what it's going to be. But as long as they are in that house, you know this process is taking place. And when the Holy Spirit is in your life, this process of inferiority, insecurity, insignificance being transformed into you as a child of God and claiming your calling and purpose as a child of God, that is taking place through the Holy Spirit as we allow that to happen. The disciples struggled with all these things. Jesus called ordinary people. He called people who were not highly trained. He didn't call highly gifted, talented people. He called ordinary folks, and he called them to follow him. And along the way, these men were so honored to be his disciples, but I think they also clearly struggled with a sense of insecurity. They compared themselves to other people, and they said, who are we? And you can see it, and there's a number of occasions where it clearly comes out. In Mark 10, 37, they say, James and John come and say, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left. We want to be somebody. We want to make sure we get our place, the important spot in your kingdom. There's some insecurity going on there. You can hear it. Mark 9:34, they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. See these insecurity things going on? Insignificance, inferiority? They're struggling. And then we see Peter in Matthew 26, and he says, even if everyone else falls away, I'll never fall away. There's this boastfulness, this rashness. He's not sure if he's going to be able to hang in there, but he's claiming he will be. But it's not based on the strength of God. It's based on his belief in himself. But we see something very different in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 4. The Holy Spirit is poured out in Acts chapter 2. And one of the things the Bible tells us about the Holy Spirit is that the Spirit will glorify Jesus. The Spirit will take our focus off ourselves and give glory to Jesus. And that's what we see happening for Peter and John. As they heal this lame man who's begging. And they're called to give an account for that, give an explanation for this. And here they are, and they're before the Sanhedrin, before all the teachers of the law, the highly educated people. And I want you to think about how Peter and John would have every reason to feel very insecure and feel like they should maybe just keep their mouths shut and say as little as possible. Because Peter and John are not trained in rhetoric. That was a big deal for the people in Greek-Roman society. Rhetoric is the study of how to say things well, how to shape an argument, how to speak in ways that are persuasive. And when someone would speak, they could tell right away whether or not someone was trained in rhetoric or not. And Peter and John had not been trained in rhetoric. And if they're going to speak up in front of the Sanhedrin, everybody is going to know that they're uneducated, simple people. And if they were acting out of their past insecurities and inferiorities and insignificance, they're going to be focused on themselves and they're going to keep their mouths shut because they don't want to be compared to educated people. What I love about this moment is they don't care. They don't care. The Holy Spirit has done a work in their lives that they are not so concerned with how they themselves are perceived or how they compare to other people. They are so excited about what Jesus has done in their lives that they just can't keep quiet. And in that moment, filled with the Holy Spirit, they proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they proclaim what Jesus has done. They say, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. And, you know, as they proclaim, actually, the people of the Sanhedrin take notice, and they say, you know what, we do, in fact, we can tell that these are simple, ordinary, uneducated people. They're not trained in rhetoric. We can see that. But that's part of what makes this so astonishing. They are astonished at the courage of Peter and John. And in fact, they recognize that they're simple, untrained people who don't understand the rhetoric of the day. And yet, in spite of that, they have the courage to proclaim Jesus. And they take note that these men have been with Jesus. You see what's going on here? They are not allowing their insecurities of the past to keep them from proclaiming Jesus. The Holy Spirit has made this not about them anymore, but about Jesus Christ. And in getting past that stuff, they're able to proclaim Jesus as Lord in ways that make an impression on other people. And my challenge for all of us, but particularly for the young people graduating, for anybody here, This is for me. It is so easy to allow ourselves to compare ourselves to other people in ways that put the focus on us, that keeps us from giving what God has given us for the glory of God. It happens so easily. And I want to share a story about how I experienced this in my life when I was 19. No, actually, I was 18, right out of high school. That's about the age of you all. My first year out of high school was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. It was the best of times because I went into the YES program with EMM. I trained in Baltimore and went to the discipleship program there. Wonderful experience. And then I did my outreach, a five-month outreach in Jamaica. And our team was made up of guys and girls. The girls taught in a deaf school. And we worked in concrete. We built water tanks. And we worked on a team of people. We had about a dozen Jamaican guys in the mountains there. And we worked every day mixing concrete, learning how to set up the frames, and learning how to, it was a lot to this. It was like learning a trade, learning how to build Jamaican water tanks. But one of the things that was really hard for me as the time went on was there was another guy on my team who obviously picked this stuff up a whole lot quicker than I did. Clearly, he had more of an aptitude for it. And as time went on in that outreach time in Jamaica, every day, I was reminded, not that he was rubbing it in my face, but it was clear in front of me that he had a better aptitude for this than I did. And as the time went on, it became a bigger and bigger deal for me. It became more and more my focus. As day after day, I compared myself with Kevin and found myself falling short. And what happened was the focus came off doing this for Jesus, doing this to bless people, doing this as a servant, doing this as an opportunity to relate and share Jesus with our coworkers. Many of these Jamaican guys didn't know Jesus. And my focus became on myself. And it got to the point where I couldn't wait to come home. And I remember May 11th was the day we were going to come home. And I had it on my calendar and I couldn't wait and I was counting the days. And I look back and say, what a shame to allow comparison, inferiority, insignificance to steal and rob me of the joy of what the opportunity was there in my life at that time. The real danger of this kind of thing, and I think we all struggle with this in some way or another, is that it blinds us to what God is really calling us into. Because there was something else going on, and this took me years to recognize this. Because that struggle was so vivid, so front and center. But every Sunday we would go to these churches in the mountains, and we divided our team, and we split up, and my church was Retrieve Mennonite Church in the mountains of St. Elizabeth Parish in Jamaica. And I remember well, we would settle into that church, and there was a woman named Sister B. Now, women were never up front in that church, but Sister B ran that church. And she ran it from her front pew. And I remember it was my first or second Sunday there. Sister B turned around to me and she said, "Will you have devotions?" And I wanted to say, "Next week?" "No, right now." So it's like, all right, I'm 18 years old and scrambling around. Help me, God. Find a scripture. And 2 minutes later, I'm up front. Just got to go for it. And turns out that happened the next week, too. She'd turn around. "Will you have devotions?" Okay. All right, here we go again. About the third week, I start to see the pattern here, and I started actually to prepare a little bit. And, you know, it's amazing how many years later it took me to realize that was the beginning of God's call on my life to ministry, and I didn't even notice it. It was a blip on the screen I'd hardly even thought about. What was prominent in my mind? I'm no good at building water tanks. I can't figure this stuff out. And I allowed that inferiority, insignificance to dominate my thinking. And I didn't even pay attention to what God was calling out in my life for the first time. God calls us all the time to do things we're not good at. And just because I don't naturally pick up things like that quickly doesn't mean I shouldn't try those things when I have opportunity. But don't let what you're not good at shape your identity. It's so easy to focus on what you're not, and it'll blind you to what you are. The Spirit of God has given each of you young people, each and every one of us, gifts, and they're unique and different for every single one of us. And I think it's especially in times of transition, when you're going into something new, that what the enemy loves to do is put this stuff right in your face and say, see, you can't figure stuff out, see? Throw it at you. And it's so important to recognize, just like Peter and John, say, Spirit of God, take my eyes off myself and help me remember that the only things that will make eternal significance are when people see Jesus in you. Not your success, not your awards, Not how well you stack up to other people, not your class rank, not this or that or the other thing. But only as people look at your life and say, that person's been with Jesus. That person has been with Jesus. You know, humility is being known for who you are. Sometimes we think humility is just holding back and say, well, I'm gifted in this area, but I don't want to, you know, we hold back. But here's Peter and John. I think living out humility about as well as you'll ever see it. You know, pride holds you back. Pride says, well, I'm not going to speak because people will know I'm not trained in rhetoric. Peter and John say, no, we're going to be known for who we are. And we're going to shout it from the rooftops. And if people see we're not trained in rhetoric, so what? Because this is about Jesus. Humility is being known for who you are. And it's being willing to even be known for what you're not so good at. Are you willing to try things that someone else is going to be better at you then? The Spirit of God is saying, even in those kind of experiences, if people can see Jesus in you, it can make an eternal significant difference in someone else's life. They noted that they were untrained and ordinary people, but they took note that they had been with Jesus. My prayer, my hope, my blessing on each and every one of us is that we will allow the Holy Spirit to take our focus off ourselves and to give glory to Jesus Christ. And that in identifying with Jesus, it would give us great boldness and courage to put ourselves out there in new ways, to be willing to fail because we belong to the King of Kings. You're children of the King. You are secure. You are significant. You have purpose. God has a plan for your life. Every single one of us here. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that your Spirit takes the pressure off us. Thank you that we do not have to compare ourselves to other people. Thank you that you created us with intentionality. Thank you that you want to use each and every one of us to show who you are, Jesus. That by your Spirit we may glorify you. Thank you that the Bible's filled with imperfect people who didn't always get it right. And just we thank you for the difference your Spirit makes in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.